Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast. Your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Matt DeWolf.
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Car Wash the Podcast. I'm Matt DeWolf, and friends, this is the podcast that makes you a better car washer and a slightly better human being. Now, before we get to this episode, I want to remind you all that 2024 is going to be the year of us introducing some new voices into this podcast. So while I've been your host for a long time now, you're going to start to hear from a lot more of the ICA team. So get ready for that, friends. But for today, for this episode, I will be your host on this adventure. So we have talked previously on this program a lot about AI. It's one of my favorite technologies because it's brand new to all of us anyway. And it's evolving rapidly and it's changing the game for a lot of people. It's very disruptive. And so we're going to talk more about that today. We're going to dive in with Brian Satyanathan. He's the founder of Iterate AI. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt, for having me and excited to be here.
Well, I can't wait for this because we talk a lot about AI, but none of us seem to really know what it is. So this is going to be a nice education for all of us. So I feel like I have to say, I feel like it's terrible of me if I don't say that you were a member of the first iPhone team. So we've now said that and that's out there and everybody can do with that what they want. But in your latest venture, you've been doing some work with some big car wash brands. So I'd love to have you talk a little bit about kind of what you're seeing from an AI perspective in terms of opportunity in the car wash space.
See, I think the biggest opportunity in the car wash space is basically applying AI throughout the entire life cycle, right? That includes
just all of it.
It's all of it. It's the entire thing, right? So all the way from knowing who your customers are, right? Because if you look at car wash is one of those frequent activities that happen. If you look at the entire repair cycle, right? Like, you know, you get a new car every once in 5 years, right? Also, you get your car repaired every once in a year or two. Then you get your oil change every 30 days, and maybe you do every 2 weeks car wash. So it increases the touch, the frequency. So that's a really interesting opportunity for brands to really know who their customers are. So understanding customer data, loyalty is a big deal in this space, and AI can really help you understand their customer behaviors, right? If you look at the large companies, right, the big four, the Google, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, from the time you wake up till the time you go to bed, they look at this thing called the attention economy, right? You at least spend like 4 hours of your life with Apple devices, Apple TV, and Apple related. Similar thing with Amazon, and maybe a little less with Amazon, but most of your shopping comes from there. And same thing with your Google browser and using your Google phones and so on. So this whole attention economy is such a critical part of grabbing the attention of the user. For traditional companies who are in car wash, in retail, in convenience stores, at gas stations, they have to also play strong in this attention economy. Just like these big four know the consumer deeply, there is data that Google doesn't have. The data they don't have is when you go pump gas. When you do a car wash, they don't necessarily have it. Right? So this is all very interesting, powerful data. So this is an area where a lot of these brands should work of knowing the customer more deeply. So that's the first one. Second one, I think throughout the cycle is the process, right? The speed, the telling the customer from the start of a car wash to the end, right? With the process you're going through and how quickly it's going to be done, the follow-ups and upsells around that experience, right? Making it smooth and quick, right? That entire part is super critical. And I think there is value there. And there's a lot of application of AI. And I think third, of course, is the end of the life cycle, following up, reminding folks and trying to keep them looped in and bring them back to the attention, right? So it's a constant cycle, but it's a virtuous cycle that you got to do really well and add value to the customer while you do that cycle.
Yeah, well, and you're talking about this attention economy idea and the hardest thing there is that you're not just competing with other car washes or other retail operations at that point. You're competing with some pretty big brands, right? Some pretty major players in the space. So to try and compete with that, you're going to have to get a little creative and you're going to have to leverage some new technology. So I think AI has a huge, huge opportunity here to help people really kind of get some mind share there. You might think, and I do, that, you know, to get into this space and to set yourself up and smart ways to leverage AI, that it's going to be hard and it's going to require lots of really in-depth knowledge about creating applications and code and all of these kinds of things. But you take a little bit of a different approach at Iterate AI. You talk about this low code solution. Can you talk just a little bit about that?
Absolutely, Matt. So low code is basically nothing else, but think of it like Lego, right? So you're building a little, you know, a little truck or something. You can build it with Lego. So it's basically a method of putting things together. It's almost like drawing code, right? Instead of writing code, you draw code, right? And you can, and the benefit of that is a couple of things. One is from a business side, it allows you to get to market faster, right? In fact, we've done some benchmarking with various customers in this space. I mean, not just car wash, but throughout the industry, right? It allows you to bring products to market like 17x faster, right? So that's a big value. I mean, it can change, the mileage can vary, but in general. The other business value is maintainability, right? Because in the car wash industry, you have a lot of legacy, right? And you have to connect to legacy systems that don't do payments and, like, you know, data doesn't go out of the system. So this creates an ability to connect to a lot of these things and maintainability, I think, which is a huge value, right? And then the third, I think, is like the integration, because it's all about integrating, because it's a digital ecosystem. You're playing in an ecosystem. So everything has to be somewhat connected. So the low code allows you to connect things much better and much faster, smoothly, right? So this is sort of the high level business benefits. And of course, you know, we at every customer had different areas where it plays, right? In the AI world, it's really interesting because today with generative AI, everybody talks about large language models and cool stuff that you see on the internet, I mean, daily, right? I mean, but I think the AI is broader than that. I think in the car wash space, it you could think of it in three buckets. The first bucket is the data analysis side of AI, which is basically knowing your customer, pulling your customer data, looking at their frequencies, running prediction models, all that stuff, behavior model, predicting what's the next best offer for the customer, when is the customer going to come back. All that stuff is AI, data analysis side of AI. That's the first bucket. Second is the computer vision bucket, right? Which we play in the data bucket as well pretty strongly. But we also play in the computer vision bucket, which is basically you have the cameras on as they're coming to like, you know, the gas station and various places. You can recognize them through computer vision. You can do frictionless payment with them. You can identify them. You can use that identification for loyalty. And they can also have simple access, because sometimes, you know, in car washes, you know, you go in and you pull in and, you know, you go through the whole payment process, you give your card back again, say the exact same thing, right? And a lot of times, you know, when I go to for car washes, I have a particular wash I take all the time and I don't change, right? And those are opportunities for somebody to upsell, right? So these are all that the vision side of the AI. The third bucket really is the bucket where you do generative capabilities of AI, right? So like if the wash is queued up, I can pick up the phone and talk to an LLM and get an appointment. Right. I can basically, you know, come to the entry point and I can select my wash with an LLM. Right. We've actually done drive-through type systems in the past. Right. That's one of the things I demoed in CES. Right. In the Intel stage. Right. Like using LLM powered. So there are these three buckets. There is this data bucket. There is this vision bucket. And then there is generative AI, the LLM, and the promotional buckets there, right? So yeah, so you have three buckets of AI, and I think that I want the leaders to think of all three things, right? Because AI, generative AI is so hot, everybody thinks about the latter, but there are two other things that have been around for a while, which is working fairly well, and car washes are implementing this type of, not car washes, but like throughout the convenience industry, people are implementing this type of solutions, yeah.
Well, so you mentioned it, so we're going to talk about it because it was one of the favorite things I found when I was kind of doing some research for this conversation. And in your CES talk, you walked through this presentation of AI ordering at a Kraft burger joint. And while, you know, that would have put 16-year-old me out of a job, and also would have had the fortunate benefit of making sure I did not have to work in food service when I went to college. But we can unpack that a different day. I want you to kind of refresh folks who've not maybe seen your CES talk. What was that Kraft Burger experience doing, right? Like, what was happening in there? How are you leveraging AI to really replace a human being taking orders?
So, no, that's a great question, Matt. So what we're doing is essentially we are providing a large language model, which is basically the AI model that is, think of it like ChatGPT, right?
Yeah.
And what happens is as a user, you come in and instead of talking to a human in the back with a microphone, you actually talk to the large language model, the LLM, right? And it can take your order and it knows that it's really well trained on the menu and it can take your order on your behalf. And then you can converse, perform the conversations with it, which is really powerful sometimes, especially a lot of these drive-through establishments are sometimes understaffed. And also, yeah, especially during peak times, they're not staffed for peak. So this could be a thing that where you can turn on, turn off, right? I mean, because most of these drive-through systems actually have like, you know, mic panels and patch panels at the back. So you can always take a human handover if there is, when you were at 16th doing the serving, and if you had time, you could actually, you know, serve the mic line. And then, something happens back in the kitchen, you got to go, you know, pack for all for the front POS, you can just run that and put it back to the machine, right? But it allows you to sort of augment the human capability. We always assume there is about 20%, 15% human support and, you know, overseeing of it. But the power of the system is that it enables you to do automated orders. And then you can serve the queues faster and you can have multiple queues and you can expand the queues, right? You could, instead of having one line, now you can have four lines and an LLM can handle all four of them. And one of the things with Intel we were showing, which was really interesting, is when you are doing those things, typically, like, imagine a QSR, a quick service restaurant like that, with 30,000 locations. So if you were to put a GPU in each location, now that's just going to be cost prohibitive. What we did was we used regular CPUs that comes out of Intel. With their help, we optimize these models to run really fast on their CPUs, because a lot of the IT teams inside QSRs and, you know, like a lot of the convenience companies are already very familiar with deploying CPU-based systems. So this will actually allow them to use what they're familiar with and continue to deploy them. At the same time, also go to market faster, because these days it's very hard to buy GPUs because of the AI revolution. Right? And also bring your CapEx down significantly because CPUs are already well known and well used by teams, and they already have all the CapEx math figured around it, right? So especially when you're scaling, it allows you to scale in this type of scenarios. That's what we demoed. We demoed the Kraft Burger, where, you know, we are going into Kraft Burger, begin to order burgers and drinks, but doing it all real time, running an LLM, a Llama LLM in real time, all on a CPU.
Well, and I think maybe the coolest thing of the whole piece was it upsold you, like it got you to get the combo, right? So
It's upselling. It was one of those things that we actually, you know, like put it into the RAG system just to do upsell. Constantly, because that was one of the things. Can we do upsell and cross sells, right? Because that happens constantly in these, especially if you are in a convenience environment, right? Because you can pump gas and then you can go into the convenience, order from the convenience store, and then you can do a lot of cross sell, and then you could also even sell a car wash if a car wash is available. So then you can sort of do the triangle experience.
Well, and then you start thinking about the possibilities, right? It's like, okay, cool, my payment terminal is going to be staffed by an AI presence. I don't know what to call it. I guess it's a presence. And then that AI system has all of the data about your wash frequency, packages you've selected. So it can, it will learn and it will be able to say, hey, Matt, I see you've washed three times this month. Did you know that with our unlimited membership, you could save X amount of dollars? Hey, Matt, I know you've gotten the basic wash the last four times. Do you know that if you step up to this wash, you can get the benefits of the ceramic coating protection? So it's like all these things get unpacked when you start to connect all these data points. And to your point about, you know, there's always going to be some human oversight. We're not talking about getting rid of humans in this process. but it's the ability to repurpose them, right? Yeah. And to be able to operationalize everything else in a really smart way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And also, like, you know, like, because the menus change so frequently, the promotions change frequently, humans mm-hmm. have to constantly go through all these trainings, right? If it is like an automated upselling mechanisms, they could do a lot of the upselling. And the humans could be, I think the human connection is really powerful. So when humans could focus on not cramming and memorizing menus anymore, but really, really like building those connections, right? And then, you know, the systems could actually focus on looking at the menus, understanding, like, because even if you look at like a car wash, there is so many choices. Like even in that 5 burger option we did, there were like 36 of even with the 5 burger options, right? Because you can do like a lot of things with cheese, without cheese, with, you know, with lettuce, right? So like, you know, car wash has the same problem too, like, because some people say like, don't use Armor All in my interior, right? Even though it's available a part of some standard wash. So that once you start adding options and deleting options, the combinations can suddenly increase. So with the AI, those things become a little bit more easier to do.
So, okay. So that's a little bit about kind of like how AI might help us when we think about kind of the point of sale system or you know, at the terminal. We talked a little bit about like personalizing campaign efforts. I want to talk like pricing strategies and inventory. Talk to me a little bit about what you see playing out there and like how we might be able to leverage some AI to help us in those realms.
No, it's a great question, Matt. So what happens, I think, is that the car washers, convenience stores, all these QSR restaurants are very highly affected by seasonality and the weather, right? So imagine scenarios where you can actually identify, you know, in a colder weather to increase the number of coffee cups, right?
Yeah.
Increase. So a lot of really interesting things. Like in, like, for example, sometimes, you know, inventory wise, it's not just only inventory shortage, right? Because inventory, most of these companies have some legacy inventory system that they, because in order to operate business, you still have to have inventory, right? That's just kind of the base. So most of them do have some system they're pulling from somewhere, right? But what happens though is as the inventory systems are not very contextual, as you are, as the business changes, like they're not reflective of weather, they're not properly reflective of per store type inventory, because most of these sister companies have store specific inventory management, right? And then replenishment. So a lot of that stuff, I think most of the traditional inventory systems don't support really well. The other is also like, classic example, right? If you are selling food items during lunchtime, you may have inventory of the food item, but if they're not heated, you can't sell them.
Right.
Pizza is a classic example, right? So how do you actually use AI to be more intelligent, to be ready, to be contextual to the user, right? Because you are serving the customer. How can you use AI to be ready? Not just only track your inventory, but mostly to be, the inventory becomes more granular to be more ready. So that I think is an interesting area. The other is like the regular forecasting and stuff like that. You can apply AI in a more granular manner to attach deeper patterns, right? What I mean is like seasonal patterns, you know, weather patterns, local event patterns, right? Because in this business, like local events change everything, right? If there's a 49ers game or something, suddenly everything's going to change. or suddenly, you know, like the whatever, the gas prices go, there is an oil, the crude oil, you know, increase, everything is going to change. And that's going to be lines behind outside the station, right? So all those patterns can be predicted. Because if you really look at today, like, you know, if you look at Wall Street, right, in the stock trading world, they have granular controls, right? That market operates with ruthless efficiency, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, that level of data analysis and control and contextualization can create, there's a lot of untapped potential in the convenience and car industry, right? The technology has been there for like 20 some years, even before the modern AI came, even with statistical systems, right? But with AI, it becomes probably more democratized and more cheaper, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, Wall Street has been doing a lot of these weather patterns. I mean, like, if you really look at, like, I mean, like, like the prediction of like Walmart sales and all these things. I mean, the street predicts very accurately, right? Because they buy data from the satellite provider, so they know how many shipping trucks are there, how many, you know, how many cars are in the parking lot, right? All that data is really deeply analyzed, but because of the cost margins and the cost consciousness, and then because of legacy systems, the convenience stores haven't fully taken advantage of that. But as the AI world is becoming more democratized, the price points for those things are also going down, right? Which means it'll become more affordable, and then both car wash companies as well as convenience stores can have ruthless optimization and prediction and data, you know, contextualization of their offerings, right?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, Brian. I think the especially in the car wash space, right? Like I immediately was going to, you know, how can I optimize my chemistry, right, based on changing factors in the water and the weather and the environmental factors, so that I can be more efficient on that end. And then how can I better staff my teams for those peak moments based on, well, I know it's unseasonably warm today, I know it's not going to rain for X number of days, all these different things that would take you as a human all kinds of time to sit down, and you'd have to have your data models in front of you and be playing and tweaking and manipulating. Yeah. Not anymore. Now you just need to have say, hey, when's my best time to, you know, ramp up my ordering of my supplies so that I'm ready for the big hit?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it can come back to you with the meaningful answer. In fact, one of our products called OCR Manager, which is used by banks and others to do straight through processing, different industry, but like where when you deposit a check, whatever. So yeah. We can go to that and ask, like, tell me red flags, and it'll actually tell you red flags in the entire financial spending. Right. Earlier, like things like that to do, like, you know, banks have to like catalog every transaction. It's a really difficult thing, but that's the power of large language models, because they trained on like trillions of data, the whole of internet. They have a lot of this knowledge inherently built into them, right? Which is where the power is, which means the price points will come down. If you really look at what is preventing some of these larger, especially car washers and convenience stores from really achieving this optimal, I think in my mind, I would say there are three things. One is cost, right? With the AI, I think it's getting democratized. Second, I think there's a lot of like, you know, legacy and, you know, integration and things don't talk to each other problem, right? Which I think will eventually get solved over time. And then the third, I think, is that some of them can actually be franchisee owned, right? And then some of them can be like operational. So the AI has to be super human friendly, right? If it's another application they need to learn, it's just not going to get adapted, right? So that whole human, I think with this generative AI and large language model, the communication with machines is going to be English, which is, I think, fascinating. Yeah, because yesterday was so funny. I was working on something on ChatGPT, and then my daughter came in, and then she basically said, I'm going to write a situational analysis for this paper I'm writing. Just plugged it into ChatGPT in English, right? I mean, that's how, you know, store operators are going to communicate with these systems. They're going to talk, they're going to speak English, right? And it's going to take care of what's required.
That's crazy. You were talking about red flags, and that got me thinking about, in the car wash space, predictive maintenance, right? Like, that's a big thing to help make sure that, you know, you don't find yourself shut down on a Saturday. What's possible, or what might be applicable in terms of being able to identify time to maintain my different pieces of equipment in the wash when it comes to AI? Like, how's that going to play out?
No, that's a great question. So what happens though, what's interesting though, is some of these things, some of the base elements to get these things done are already there. What I mean by that is most car washers do have cameras in their entry and their exits.
Yeah.
Due to liability and various other reasons, right? Because, you know, so they can log and do audits and things like that. So what's interesting is if you add computer vision systems that can detect windshield cracks, right? Hmm. And sometimes because you need to enter through a rail, so you can actually add like an IoT tire sensing system. So you know that your tire treads are going out. right? And then we even ourselves have models to like do look at certain damages when the vehicle is physical damages of the car, right? When the vehicle is going through, right? So you combine all those things. Now you can do really interesting predictive maintenance capability, right? Because if you look at most of the cars, there are a lot of third-party providers who sell databases on the components of the car, right? In terms of what windshield it is, what the hood it is, and what's the pieces, right? So you can actually do damage estimation and even predictive maintenance estimation very quickly. And that type of stuff is not far away. I mean, and also like the infrastructure is already there, which I think is interesting in the car wash space because the presence of cameras are critical, right? Cameras are the cheapest, easiest sensors, right? Because everything else is custom. You got to build here. You know it's already there. You can use existing vision to do, you know, because cameras, the camera type vision, as long as the cameras are good, is always very predictable. I mean, even if you look at Tesla, they replaced a lot of their sensors with vision sensors.
Yeah.
Right? Because vision sensors are always dependable, right? So I think there is a lot of things to do, and not only just in the car wash, but also doing cross sells and upsells. Let's say, you know, you are a car wash brand and you have a sister brand that does maintenance. Now you can actually do a cross sell to that brand, right? Interbrand cross sell you can easily do, right? And then that'll basically increase your whole frequency of people returning across all your brands, right? Your brand A, brand B, brand C. So there's a lot of interconnectivity you can create through this type of predictive maintenance, right? All the way from looking at windshields, you can look at outside, right? And then with OBD type connectors and stuff like that, you can even get a very, but that might be harder to fit on a car wash, but on a maintenance, they could just do a quick, and then all this data goes back. Right, this goes back to the three circles, right? The data circle, the data bucket, the vision bucket, and the generative AI bucket. All that data goes back into the data bucket. It's captured through the camera using the vision bucket, right? And then you can interact with the customer using the LLM bucket or the generative AI bucket. So they're all connected together.
Well, and the other thing that's cool is like, you know, you can, when you start thinking about how this stuff all can combine and play together, like, okay, great. I've got the cameras in my wash. That can tell me the kinds of cars that I'm washing that may have an impact, may or may not have an impact on the longevity of my brushes, right? So you could get really, really hyper-optimized in terms of, well, I know if my percentage of truck washes go up by X, I'll need to replace brushes 30% faster or whatever the number might be.
Absolutely.
Right? It's fascinating.
Absolutely. I mean, that's mostly for the car washers themselves. Absolutely. Yeah. They can optimize a lot of their equipment. Yeah. Yeah. And create a lot of efficiencies. Yeah.
Okay. So there's tons of benefits, obviously. We could talk for hours and hours and hours, but with every benefit, there are also risks. So what should we be watching? What should we be mindful of as we kind of cartwheel into this AI universe?
So I think a couple of things. One, of course, is I mean, there are risks, but I think the same issue happened in the 1995, 2000 timeframe with cybersecurity is happening now with AI, right?
Okay.
Because at one point, you know, when we bought all these internet systems in the 95 time period, 2000 time period, every hacker got into it and made a mess of it, right? Right. But eventually cybersecurity frameworks developed. And I mean, it's not perfect today, but regardless, we still have a functioning internet system, a functioning digital world, right? Same thing's going to happen with AI, right? I mean, there are frameworks are coming in to put better guardrails. I'm sure once in a while, we are going to see some mega failures, just like in the 1995, right. You know, I used to, when I was computer security was one of my favorite fields. So when I got my first job, Apple job, you know, that's what I did in security and cryptography. So I used to keep a long list of what are the cool viruses that came in, just to understand, right? I mean, the same type of thing. You're going to hear a lot about, you know, LLMs, you know, LLMs failing and like, you know, AI failing, right? Mega failures. But along with that comes in, right, the frameworks and the systems and the guardrails. To keep them going. I think we're going to have we're going to have, as a company, I think the best way to look at it is like, how do I limit my data exposures? How do I also be very careful in terms of how I interact with customers, especially if you have customer interacting chatbots and things like that? You want to have some guardrails to protect the customer, right? And then from a data side, you want to double and triple your data security, because the that's where a lot of the breaches happen, and the liabilities for those things are very heavy, right? So those are two areas they would still look at. And this goes back to, like, you know, look at your IT framework, because even like smaller car washes, they still have some framework from their from the mothership. So look at your current frameworks and just make sure that whatever you do is within that framework. At least, you know, do a cursory check mark, right? Because I think those things are critical, especially from a liability perspective. And as things are changing, you're going to get more and more better frameworks, and IT teams are going to get better, because they're just slowly getting their grappling their arms around AI, but eventually they will get it, right? And then they will begin to have more, just like how security was, right? In 1995, most of the IT guys, you know, they didn't know security. I mean, they knew something, but the hackers would go below them, right? Because, like, you know, they would go at system levels, and, you know, they didn't have the right tools to. Same thing with AI today, right? But over time, there will be enough tools to prevent that.
I think there's a good common sense lesson here around, you know, technology is great, and we should use it. We should experiment with it. We should make sure that we are up to date and using it in ways that kind of support our vision at the end of the day. But we also can't rely too heavily on it, right? It's at the end of the day, technology is a tool to help us get to where we're wanting to go. And so we still need to make sure that we're constantly evaluating that technology, making sure it's still working for us, making sure it's supporting us and not giving us headaches. Like, I mean, I think your site, your security example is a great one, because nothing could be more terrifying than, you know, you've got all this customer data locked up and you're using AI and whoops, you know, you weren't locked up enough. And now your customer data is out and you just took a huge brand hit. So
correct.
Constant evaluation, constant security checks. Keep that stuff private, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I've got so many questions, Brian, but I want to make sure that we don't take up your entire week. So I'm going to wrap it up here with my last question, and maybe my favorite question, that I ask everybody. And that's what's one thing that we can all do today that's going to make us better tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's like, I used to have a similar question like this: what can I do on Monday? Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I think I have a standard answer. I think it's applicable here too, which is basically, I think, as leaders of these car washes and convenience stores, think about use cases, the business, forget about AI, think about your business use cases first. And then look at how can AI help me with my existing use cases, right? Yeah. And then learn from that angle instead of trying to learn AI all over, right? Because it's an ocean, you'll get buried. But look at your use cases and see how AI can help me with my use cases. And that's a really interesting area, because you're not looking at AI as a shiny object, but as a tool, like you said, as a platform that's going to be helping me to supercharge and enhance my business. So I think that's a good place to start, because it'll also give you this comparison and contrast in terms of, okay, before AI or before this generative AI, I could not do X, Y, and Z. Now I can do. But then what am I giving away? Right. And then it allows you to mentally get a ballpark and begin to learn as much as possible. Speak to many people and, you know, happy to talk to us, happy to talk to you guys, happy to talk to many, many people in the industry and learn as much as possible. Because I think the next, like last 2023 was a year of, I was in a couple of board meetings, speaking to board leaders on various companies about the applicability of generative AI. But this year, I think, is sort of the year of they're trying to dip their waters, trying to do something there, right? So that's why it's important to learn as much as possible and do something, because I think it's important to experiment and do something than not do anything, because I think it's critical to take some action. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that such good advice. Such good advice. I mean, not thinking about AI as the shiny object. You don't have to know AI, but you should be thinking about how you can leverage it to help you get to where you want to go at the end of the day, how to make your business better, how to make your customers' experiences better, and how to make sure that you maintain that differentiation that is so important in this industry today. Brian, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. You are also featured in an article in Car Wash Magazine. So listeners, if you want to learn more, you want to hear more stuff like this conversation, check that out. You do need an ICA membership. You can take care of that at carwash.org/join. Or you can check it out at carwashmagazine.com. Brian, thanks again for joining us today. I can't wait to see what comes next in the world of AI.
Thank you, Matt. It was a pleasure talking to you. And then hope our listeners had fun. Yeah. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.